Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Today, Extension Horticulturist Richard Giron and Cindy Haynes will be here to answer your questions about the plants in your life that you want to grow or grow better. We'll also talk about the care of Easter lilies and planting potatoes and any other planting concerns. Call in with your questions at 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa takes root just after the news. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. I'm Julie Englander. We're talking plants with Extension Horticulturist Richard Giron and Cindy Haynes today. They'll take your questions about anything you want to grow or grow better. Call in at 1-866-780-9100. That number again, 1-866-780-9100. Or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Hello, Richard and Cindy. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning. We're doing well.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, let's start off with the care of Easter lilies. But before we get to their care and feeding, how do you select a nice Easter lily? What goes into that?
Well, usually when you look for an Easter lily, you look for one that has nice green foliage, maybe one that doesn't have any spots on it or any yellow leaves. And then I always look at the buds as well. I like nice large buds, maybe with just one or two of the lilies actually open so that I can enjoy most of the flowers indoors at my home.
Oh, good. Okay.
And it's so that easy.
That's easy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then once they're in the home, how do you make sure that they stay healthy and happy?
Put them in a bright location, so bright indirect light, away from any drafts, if it's a cold draft or even a hot draft, and then just kind of water them occasionally. When the top of the soil dries out, water them well, and maybe take them out of those kind of saucers or liners that they're in so that it drains out completely. Keep them. They'll bloom probably for a couple of weeks indoors, and then I usually keep them until mid-May, until I can plant them outside. And I'll actually find a place in the landscape to plant them so that I can enjoy their blooms next year.
Okay, I was going to ask about that. So you can put them outside.
You can. They're not going to bloom by Easter.
Oh,
So they've been scheduled and, a lot has gone into actually growing that Easter lily to make sure that it blooms by Easter indoors in a greenhouse. Outdoors, they'll probably bloom sometime in July. And they may not last forever. We usually say they last for 2 or 3 years, but on occasion they will kind of die. But it's a nice kind of reminder of Easter's past.
Okay, very good. We'll go to our first caller on Horticulture Day. Patty from Des Moines is joining us. So welcome to the program, Patty. What's your question?
When do I divide my daylilies and hostas?
Actually, you can probably start to do that now. Some of the daylilies and hostas are starting to emerge. I usually wait until I actually see some kind of new growth starting to emerge, but before the leaves unfurl, you can dig up the whole plant and then divide it into smaller pieces. And daylilies and hostas are tough enough to take it, so now's a good time.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Patty. We appreciate it. We had a email from Joe who wants to talk about potatoes. He would like to plant two crops of potatoes, one of Yukon Gold as early as possible and one of Kennebec, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, later in the summer. He says the goal is to harvest the Kennebec potatoes as it's getting colder in the fall so that I can store them under the correct conditions in the root cellar. But I've heard potatoes are like some onions in that they are sensitive to day length. Will a late planting of potatoes still develop normally?
Well, I would go ahead and plant them at the same time this spring. The Kennebecs are a long-season crop. They will mature much later than Yukon Gold. So I would go ahead and plant those probably around mid-April. And the Yukon Golds will mature faster, and the Kennebecs much later. And you can dig those up probably sometime in early October as far as the Kennebecs.
Okay, sounds good. We'll go next to a caller in Davenport. Hello. I didn't quite get your name, but you're calling from Davenport. Welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello. Hello?
Hello, yes. You're
This is William in Davenport.
William, yes, okay.
Yeah,
my
quick question is, what about, I've got some large trees in large containers. Is it sensible to put some earthworms in these pots, or does this have to be a mistake?
You're growing those trees in containers permanently or just...
Oh, yeah, they're permanently stationed in here. Yeah.
I don't really see a need to do that. You might fertilize those periodically. That would be a good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to do that sometime in the next couple weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just use a all-purpose garden fertilizer, like a 10-10-10.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling, William. We appreciate it. If you have a question for our Extension Horticulturist Richard Giron and Cindy Haynes today, give us a call at 1-866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have an email from Donald in, I'm not sure where he's from exactly, but he says, I have seen ads for blueberries that supposedly can be grown on one's patio. I'm interested to know how successful they are in producing blueberries and what do you do with them in the winter. Will they survive left in the pot on the patio or deck over the winter?
Right, that's the problem. Theoretically, you can grow them in a pot, but the problem is, where do you put them in the wintertime? If you were to leave them outdoors, above ground level, in their pots, most likely they would winter kill. And that's because the potting soil would get extremely cold in January. When it gets down to like 20 below zero outside, the potting soil temperature may be very, very cold, so cold that it may actually damage or destroy the roots of the blueberry plants. So that's the problem. You cannot leave them outside. You could possibly bring them in the garage if you had a cool garage and have them overwinter there in the garage. That's a possibility. But the best procedure is to go ahead and plant them in the ground. That's really the best way of doing it. As far as blueberries, they do need an acid soil. They also need a well-drained soil. So it has to be a well-drained soil. And as far as the acid part, our soils are much higher as far as the pH. And the best way to deal with that is when you plant blueberries in the ground, to dig a very wide hole, but very shallow, and take half the soil from that hole and mix that with an equal amount of Canadian sphagnum peat, which you can buy at most garden centers. And the Canadian peat is very, very acidic. So if you mix the two half and half and then backfill with that mix, you should be in good shape.
Okay, that's good. We'll go to Stephen in Grinnell, who's on the line for Horticulture Day. Stephen, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two large burning bushes. The snow packed up around them, and apparently the rabbits burrowed underneath the snow, and they've eaten all the bark off of all the main trunk branches coming out of these burning bushes. Will they survive, or should I take them out?
Well, what I would probably do is go ahead and cut them back. The burning bush, or wing euonymus, is one of the favorites of the rabbit during the wintertime.
And this has happened all over
this
campus.
This is very, very common in central Iowa, throughout western Iowa, too. Whenever you have extended periods of snow cover, food is very scarce, and the burning bush is one of their favorite foods at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen is those stems that are girdled, where they have eaten all the way around the stem down to the wood, and they're basically white in color. You can see it very clearly.
Right. I thought it was fungus from a distance,
yeah,
but it's not.
Yeah, it's pure white. And those stems that are basically girdled, all the growth above that point will eventually die. Now, it may leaf out this spring, but it can't sustain itself. It's kind of disconnected from the root system, and so eventually that growth is going to die. But this is a shrub, and a shrub will respond to that by producing new growth at the base. So my inclination would be to cut it back to that damaged area, get rid of it, and then wait for the new growth coming up from the base. And if it's a fairly large shrub at this point, it may take maybe 2 or 3 years for that plant to fully recover, but it has that ability. So I wouldn't give up on the plant. If they do that to like a crab apple or an apple, you might as well start over. But with a bush, like a burning bush or whatever bush you have, they will come back eventually.
Okay, well, these are about 7 to 8 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a few years.
It won't be this year. It's going to be about a foot or so tall compared to wherever it was kind of girdled.
Yeah, I'm guessing if you cut them back that they'll actually probably put on maybe 3 or 4 years worth, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 feet of growth yet mm-hmm. this year. But it's going to take them 2 or 3 mm-hmm. years to get back to that 6-7 foot height.
Okay, so I just cut everything, all the branches.
Yep.
They girdled everything.
Yep.
Cut it all down, Stephen.
Okay, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. We'll go next to Steve in Des Moines. Steve, welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Thank you. Yeah, I have about a 6 foot high board fence that surrounds my yard, and it's covered with beautiful vines, and it's been that way for probably 15 years. The board fence is getting old, but I'm nervous about ripping the board fence down, putting the new one up. Will the vines come back up from the ground and cover that fence again?
Do you know what kind of vine?
Oh, boy.
What do they look like?
It's that ivy type vine that you see all over houses. And
okay, so it's probably
fences.
A Boston ivy or Virginia creeper.
Virginia creeper.
And either.
Probably, yeah, I'd say probably Virginia.
Both of those are very hard to kill.
Right,
so.
you can okay. you can actually mow that one off and it will come back. So.
So I rip them all off and cut them off to the ground, put my new fence up, and they will come back up on the fence?
I think most likely. Now, the Virginia creeper or the Boston ivy, they have little suction cup-like mm-hmm. appendages
right.
on their vines, so they can stick onto things. So if this is a sticky-type vine,
yeah.
I'm assuming it's woodbine or Boston ivy.
Okay.
And what I would do is maybe try to find the source of where these vines are coming out of the ground
okay.
and cut them back to maybe a foot or so
mm-hmm.
and mark them so you know where they are.
Right.
And then go build your fence, and they'll keep on growing.
And in a in a couple of years, it'll be just like it was now.
That's guaranteed.
Almost.
Right? Almost. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, Steve. We appreciate the call. If you have questions for our Extension horticulturists, Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes, call in at 1-866-780-9100, or you can email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We had someone write in, Sarah from Cedar Falls. She's asking, how and when do I prune my clematis? I've been leaving the dead stalks and leaves, and the new growth comes from this, but it doesn't look very good.
Well, I think the best way to treat a clematis is because you have different types. You have those that bloom on new wood, those that bloom on old wood. So typically what I do is I go out in April, and I look for signs of growth on those vines, on the existing vines. And when I start to see shoots coming out on those vines, then I look for the uppermost growth and then cut them off just above the uppermost growth, and you're basically done.
Oh, okay. As easy as that. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Extension horticulturist Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes will be right here to answer your questions, 1-866-780-9100. We'll be back in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day, and we're talking with Extension horticulturists Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes. They will answer your questions about the plants in your life, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll go to Geraldine in Cedar Falls. Welcome to the program, Geraldine.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question today?
I have in my backyard sort of a viney type growth, but it's got just horrible stickers on it. You know, you cut it back, it comes right up again. I live near a woods. I don't know whether it's part of that, but I just can't seem to get rid of it, and I would like to.
Mm-hmm.
Thorns is the sticky word I was trying to think of that
thorns.
Got on it.
Yeah, it could be a briar. It could be a bramble.
It's hard to say at this
mm-hmm.
point. If it what you may have to do if it shows up again this year.
It's there every year.
Okay, well, when it does show up, maybe to dig up a plant and send it down to Iowa State.
Okay.
Where we can identify it, because the key as far as control is what kind of plant is it? Is it an annual plant, a perennial plant, exactly what it is, because you may have to do different things for different plants.
Okay.
So I would suggest if the plant appears again, let it grow to a certain size where it has maybe several leaves, maybe some stickers or whatever on it,
mm-hmm.
and then dig it up and then put it in a plastic bag, and then you can send that to Iowa State.
Okay.
And specifically to Horticulture Extension,
uh-huh.
Horticulture Building,
okay.
Iowa State University,
okay.
Ames, Iowa.
Okay.
And the zip code for the campus is 50011.
Now, I hope I didn't mislead you. It's not really a plant. It's more of just a this long sort of a growth that comes out, and it's just got these thorns all over it.
Well, it must be some kind of plant then if it
yeah.
does that.
Okay.
I'm just
right.
not sure which kind of plant it
sure.
is. So if you can do that, somebody on campus, and we have various staff, can identify that, I'm sure.
And then they'll tell how to get rid of it, hopefully.
Well, knowing what it is will give us a good idea as far as the best procedures for trying to get rid of it, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Thanks, Geraldine. We appreciate the call. We'll go next to Jean in Rock Island, Illinois. Jean, hello. Welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Hello. My question is in regard to iris and miscanthus. Mm-hmm. I have some very, very pretty iris, and it's going into my miscanthus, and the miscanthus is getting more bulky, and I'd like to move the iris now if I could, and also I'd like to reduce the size of the miscanthus, either take the whole clump out mm-hmm. or part of it.
Actually,
how do I do this?
Yeah, now's a pretty good time to move and maybe divide the miscanthus, so usually it's not an easy job because miscanthus can get quite large, but you can dig up the entire plant and then divide it or cut it like a piece of pie, you know, slices of a pie, and then, you know, move sections to new places. And now's a good time for that because it's not going to send up a lot of new growth probably for another few weeks. Yeah. And the iris, well, it's not going to be unmanageable. So it's a small enough size that it's manageable. The iris you can move now, too. It's not ideal.
I know.
Since iris bloom in the spring, we usually say wait until after they're done blooming.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of moving or dividing that you do now, you're probably going to sacrifice some of the flowers, or it won't bloom as long or as well as it has. It should mm-hmm. survive it and be okay in the next year or two. So,
okay.
But both are fine. Just, you know, get them back in the ground as soon as you can, and then you can kind of separate them and give them their boundaries. For the next time.
Okay, and what if I wanted to just destroy the miscanthus right where it is?
Oh,
what
you don't.
You,
you can use a chemical like Roundup. That's a possibility.
Or dig it up and compost it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that.
Thanks so much, Jean. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
We appreciate the call. Now, miscanthus is a type of grass. Is that right?
This is an ornamental grass. It's actually a pretty nice grass, and you know, she might be able to donate that to a local master gardener group, and they might be able to sell it.
Mm.
So,
okay,
so
that's
mm-hmm.
an idea too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go to Jeff in Waterloo. Welcome to Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. Jeff, what's your question?
Morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Late last summer, I had all my hostas devastated by slugs,
mm-hmm.
and they grow in a fairly wet part of the lawn. And I tried the beer in a little cup, and that seemed to work pretty good, but I was wondering if there's a better solution to that.
I would use a slug bait, and there are a couple of different types that you can find. And so I would go to my local garden center, see what they have, and I would apply that probably sometime around early May. You want to put it on fairly quickly and control that initial population so that it doesn't build up like it usually does by midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look for a slug bait and apply that according to label directions. And you have, I think, two different type of products. One is more natural and one is more of a chemical.
Okay. Yeah, I have a couple of small children, so there is mm-hmm. a more natural product.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, there
All
is.
Right. Great.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for calling, Jeff. We appreciate it. We'll go next to Alden in Atkins. Alden, oh, hello.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I certainly enjoy your program.
Oh, thank you.
A couple questions. I'm wondering about the reblooming lilac by the brand name of Josie. Do you know anything about that? Is that desirable?
There are a couple of reblooming lilacs out there, and they do rebloom. They usually don't bloom as well the second time as they do the first time. But you do get some, after it's established, you can get some reblooms. And that's nice. They're nice. They're fragrant. They're maybe not quite as showy, but yeah, you can find them at some garden centers. And Josie's, I think, one of many.
Okay. Second question is, I put out some really tall Asiatic lilies. Is that correct?
Right.
And I was looking this just a couple of days ago, and they have these real tiny bulblets at the base of where they came out of the ground.
Right.
And I wanted to know if I can replant those, and do I plant those at the level that they are now, and they sink themselves in the ground some way?
Yeah, you can plant them at the level they are now, and they will produce something called a contractile root, which will help dig them into the ground a little bit deeper. Or you can plant them at the 6-inch depth, and then they won't produce as much of those contractile roots. But yes, those little bulbs, give them a couple of years, they will produce larger bulbs and be blooming size, like I said, in 2 or 3 years from now.
And I have one more question, if you have time.
Very quick. Yes, go ahead.
The European fruits, meter or mater, I've seen advertised, and some Russian Siberian plants. Have you any ideas on those to try?
Not offhand. There are some rather unique fruits from the Soviet Union. You might want to try those, but we don't really have much experience with those in Iowa, no. So kind of a trial-type plant.
Trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate the call. We'll be going into a break here in just a few minutes. We have an email from Jenny in Altoona, and she says, my lavender dies in winter and I have to buy new plants. I thought it was hardy in central Iowa. I put the plants in the ground in my garden, which is on a berm with great drainage, great sunlight too. Any ideas?
Well, she's got the drainage is essential, and the bright direct light is essential for lavender as well. Hidcote and Munstead are the two varieties that we usually recommend because they're hardier than some of the others. Even then, they're not reliable. And they may need some extra protection. So I usually tell people to take some cuttings and bring some cuttings indoors just in case you have to restart it again in the spring.
And kind of consider those to be annuals. And if they survive, be very, very happy.
Right, because they're not always a reliable perennial.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Because aren't there some that do come back?
They're supposed to be. And if you go just half a zone or a zone farther south, maybe they will. But central Iowa is pretty exposed in the winter, especially if you put it on a berm and well-drained soil and kind of, full sun. That, it's just maybe just a little too harsh.
They kind of have a mind of their own. And sometimes they come back and sometimes they just kick the bucket.
They like France, and we're not France. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to take a five-minute break, but when we return, Extension horticulturist Cindy Haynes and Richard Duran will be right here to take your questions about the plants in your life. Call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email us talk@iowa@iowapublicradio.org. We'll be back in a few moments. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day. I'm Julie Englander, and Extension Horticulturist Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes are here to answer your questions about the plants you want to grow or grow better. Call in at 1-866-780-9100 or email us talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll go to Bill in Rockford. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you. This morning I was going to get my shallots to take them out and plant them. Lo and behold, I found I have 3 bags of tulip bulbs that I forgot about last year. They all had their little horns sticking out of them, anywhere from a half inch to an inch. I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to keep them alive and well so I can replant them in situation in fall.
I don't think I have good news because they're totally off of their normal life cycle. We normally plant those in the fall so that they have a chance to develop a good root system by winter. And then the following spring, they send up their foliage and their flowers. At this point, they're trying to send up foliage, but they have no root system. Mm-hmm. So they're in a very difficult situation. Basically, you really have two options. Either just compost them, just toss them, compost them, or put them in the ground. But I'm not terribly optimistic that they're ever going to do anything in the future. They're probably not going to bloom this year, and I think they're going to be so weak that they may not be strong enough to bloom next year. So it's not a very good situation, unfortunately. But either plant them right now as soon as you can, or basically put them in the compost.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling, Bill. We'll go next to Teresa in Des Moines. Teresa, welcome to Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I had two questions, and the first is, what's a good method of getting rid of daylilies when you have them or you don't want them?
Well, you can actually just dig them up and move them, or dig them up and compost them. That's okay. Probably a pretty easy way to do it.
Okay, there's a lot of them, so I was wondering.
Oh, there's well, you can also, you know, use something like a glyphosate or Roundup. Other people have kind of put, like, carpet, old pieces of carpet or other things to kind of block the light and kill them that way.
Okay,
now, on occasion, you'll see kind of a brownish-orange daylily that you see, like, in roadside ditches.
Mm-hmm.
And some people bring those home, and they soon regret that.
Right.
Because
that might be the ones that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have those, they are very, very hard to destroy.
Yeah.
It takes repeated efforts, so you have to be patient and persistent. It may take several months,
okay,
maybe even a year or longer before they're mm-hmm. totally destroyed.
Right. Okay. Even with a chemical like Roundup.
Right. So you have to do either dig it up repeatedly, apply Roundup repeatedly. But if you have some of the more common cultivated varieties, they're not nearly as tough. They're pretty easy to kill. But
yeah,
that roadside ditch type is very, very hard to kill.
Yeah, these are kind of a darkish orange, and then the center is even darker orange. So
it might be that type.
Yeah, I wondered. Well, my second question is, I've got kind of a hilly, shady backyard, and I've had trouble growing grass. So I've been putting in some, is it lamium or lamium?
Lamium.
As a ground cover?
Uh-huh.
And it's taken off, but I want to make sure it's not too invasive that I'm making another mistake.
No, it's not. It is a ground cover, so it will cover some ground. It's going to spread, but it's nice. It's not. I don't think it's difficult to control if it gets into an area that you don't want, and it's pretty easy to pull.
Okay.
And it does kind of. It will spread several feet, so give it plenty of space.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is going to be so aggressive that you're going to be regretting that decision.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, Teresa. We appreciate it. We'll go next to Chris in Mason City. Welcome to the program, Chris. So what's your question?
Hi. I have bindweed in my flower garden that I've been fighting for about 3 years, where I've even taken Q-tips and to paint Roundup on the leaves and things, and I just can't get rid of it. Is there anything I can do?
Bindweed is a nasty plant.
Yes, it is.
It has a root system.
Mm-hmm.
It also sends out these underground stems or rhizomes, and with the bindweed, you have to destroy all of the roots and mm-hmm. rhizomes. If you leave a small portion, that portion is able to resprout and send up new growth. So it's very, very hard to control. I think I might be inclined to dig up what I want to save in this area
mm-hmm.
and put it elsewhere, maybe put it in pots,
uh-huh.
and then work on this bindweed repeatedly over maybe several months or maybe a year or so.
Uh-huh.
And dig it up, use the Roundup, but do it repeatedly. But you have to be persistent, you have to be patient, and then maybe by next year you can replant in that area. But it is a very nasty plant, and you have to destroy all those roots and all those rhizomes, and that takes time.
Yeah,
the theory is that if you keep on doing this, every time you do it, you're destroying more and more of it.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, at some point, any rhizomes that remain may have no food left in them, and they basically die. But if you let them come up and grow for any length of time, then they can replenish those food reserves, and basically you haven't accomplished anything. So you have to keep on doing it. As soon as they pop up again, you have to try to find them, dig them up, or you put the Roundup on them. So,
so you have to persist longer than they
longer
resist.
Than they do. I'd even considered just killing everything in that part of the garden and putting black plastic on top of it and just letting it be for a year. Is that an option?
That would be an option, but I could see where it may pop up at the edge of the black plastic.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a pretty aggressive, very tough plant.
Yes.
Doesn't give up easily.
Yeah, it's really well named, isn't it?
Well, it's in the Morning Glory family, and it's really a nasty thing to have in the garden.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate the call.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck, Chris.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bindweed has a, like you said, Morning Glory. They're a white flower. Some people know how to identify.
Yeah, kind of a pale pinkish white, yeah. Not very pretty, but it will flower on occasion. But it does look like a Morning Glory. It has that kind of growth.
Okay. We'll go next to Sue in Callender. Is that where you're located, Sue?
Yes.
Oh, welcome
is.
To the program, to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Thank you. I have some naked lady or pink lady lilies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're just this. I live in this tiny, tiny town, and over the years, you know, houses have kind of gotten reconfigured, and these lilies are now located like back of beyond, and I would like to move them somewhere.
Okay. Okay.
And first of all, when and how should I do this? And what do I need to look at for sunlight?
Right. Ideally, they like full sun to part shade.
Okay.
But they're very tolerant, so I have seen them do well in part shade so they don't have to have absolutely full sun all day.
Okay.
As far as digging them up and moving them, I've moved them a couple of different times. Ideally, you want to wait until after the foliage comes up and it starts to yellow. So right when it's starting to yellow, then you know where the bulb is. You know that it's going to go dormant for about a month before it sends up the flower. So that's the perfect time to move it. As quickly as possible. But, you know, I've moved them right before they leafed out. I've moved them in full leaf. And if you plant them as soon as possible, they'll still make it. They're pretty tough.
Oh, okay,
plant them about 6 to 8 inches deep. So it's a pretty deep bulb. But you'll probably still be rewarded with nice flowers in August.
Okay, so just as when the leaves begin to turn,
Leaves begin to turn, that probably will happen sometime in June or July.
Well, that sounds about right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much for your help.
Have fun.
Thanks, Sue. We appreciate the call. We'll go next to Paul in Johnston. Paul, what's your question for Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes today? Hello, Paul?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. I have an area kind of on the side of a hill that is below a retaining wall, and I think there may be some springs or something under it because it's always very moist. I mean, it's the side of a hill, so the water runs across it, but if you were to walk in there, you'd probably sink in about up to your ankles. It's always very moist.
Oh, wow.
I'm wondering what I can plant in there that would kind of spread out and grow across it and be pretty low maintenance.
It kind of depends upon the amount of sunlight. If it's in a sunny area, I would look at some of the sedges, some of the prairie grasses like wet environments. That would be a possibility.
Yeah, it's full sun. There's no shade. It's on the side of a lake. So what did you say, sedges?
Right. Sedges are kind of grass-like plants, but they're not a true grass. But sedges typically are found in wet sites. And then some of the prairie grasses that like a moist prairie site would be another possibility. So you may want to check some of the catalogs possibly or locally, see if there's any native prairie grasses and wildflowers in your area as far as sources, and see if they have a mix for a wet to moist site.
Okay, and then do you plant it as like plugs or as seeds, or how does that?
Well, it depends upon the company. Companies sell strictly seeds. Other companies also have plants where you actually buy little plugs. A couple companies come into mind, and they have websites One is the Prairie Nursery in Wisconsin.
Okay.
The other one is in Harpers Ferry, Iowa. The name of the company is Ion Exchange, I-O-N Exchange. And
okay.
You can just go online and check out their websites. But both companies sell both seeds and also plants.
How's that sound?
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks for calling, Paul. We appreciate it. Bye-bye. We'll go next to Georgia. Georgia, I didn't get where you're calling from. Where are you from?
Hello.
Hello, George. Where are you from?
We're from Des Moines.
Des Moines. Welcome to the program, to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
A couple quick ones. We had a lot of rabbit damage on our privet hedge. We stripped the bark on all the lower portions. Is that going to be any problem this year?
Well, again, I think you're probably going to have to prune it back to near ground level and have it come back. If they have girdled those stems, let's say a foot or so above the ground, everything above that damaged area will eventually die. And so what I would be inclined to do is cut it back to that area and have it come back from the base. It's going to take a few years to recover, but that's really your only option.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay.
Yeah.
Another quick one. Evergreen pruning, is this the time of year to do it on shrub?
As far as pruning things like yews and junipers, arborvitae, you may want to wait a little bit longer, maybe a week or 10 days before doing it, and then go ahead and do that.
So sometime in later April?
Sometime around mid-April or so.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, George. We appreciate it. If you have questions for Extension Horticulturist Richard Geron or Cindy Haynes, call 1-866-780-9100. Or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, just like Gino in Johnston, Iowa did. Gino says, we have a 20-foot-long, thin green rose-like vine with very long, sharp thorns on it growing in the middle of a bridal veil bush. It's already 20 feet long, single vine, looks like a rose but never flowers. It's near our child's playset, so we would like to get rid of it. But he doesn't know how to do it without hurting the bush. Any advice on that?
Yeah, the best way of doing that would be to let it leaf out this spring and then probably go out sometime in early June and cut off the vine near the ground and then take some Roundup and maybe a foam-type paintbrush, mm-hmm. dip the paintbrush in the Roundup and then dab it only on the cut vine surface. Okay. Don't get it on the other plant. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, you should be okay.
Okay, sounds good. We'll go next to Jen in Davenport. Jen, welcome to Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day.
Hi, thank Hi. You so much.
Hi.
Go
ahead.
Sorry about that. My question is, I live in a condo, so we only have balconies, and I'm interested in doing a lettuce bed on mm-hmm. our balcony, and I've never done this before, and I'm wondering, what's the best way to go about it? What kind of soil? What kind of containers? Should I start from seed inside? That
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, lettuce is fairly easy to grow, so you can do this, and you can put it in really any type of container that you want. Maybe window boxes or some other type of container where you get a lot of area would be something that you're kind of looking for, because you need a lot of lettuce to make a salad or two. Well,
right.
I would recommend maybe a typical potting soil, something that you could buy at any discount store or local garden center. Make sure it's good, well-drained soil. And then usually you buy lettuce as seed. So then, you know, fill the container with the potting soil, maybe moisten it a little bit, and then scatter the lettuce seed along the surface of the soil. And then maybe just kind of make sure it's kind of patted down a little bit. You don't even usually have to cover it. The lettuce will germinate pretty quickly, and then you might have to protect it on a balcony from birds or other things. But otherwise, you should be harvesting in about a month. So
wonderful.
It's really, really that easy. As long as you've got sun and some moisture, it should do just fine.
Great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling, Jen. We appreciate it. We'll go next to Nanette in southern Iowa. Nanette.
Hey.
How are
Happy
you?
Happy day.
Hi.
So I had a question about daffodils.
Mm-hmm.
Once my daffodils finish blooming, I've got some people that would like some of the bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure if I should leave the bulbs in the ground until fall and then move them, or if I should move them now, and is there a way to store them?
Actually, I would probably move them right as the foliage is starting to yellow, because then you know where the bulb is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can move them very quickly then, and then replant them equally as quickly as soon as possible, that's actually a pretty good time to move them. And Richard, you had...
I was just going to say, leave them in the ground until they die back naturally. Yeah. And at that point, that would probably would be late June, early July. Then at that point, you can dig them up and replant those immediately. The only other option would be to mark them and then leave them until maybe early October, and then dig them up and transplant.
Yeah, but make sure you mark the area, because it's sometimes they're hard to find afterwards.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so very much.
Well, thanks for calling, Nanette. We appreciate it. Have a good
day. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. Next is Lisa from Strawberry Point. Lisa, welcome to Horticulture Day. What's your question?
Hi, Hello? This is Lisa Fraley.
Hi, Lisa. What's your question? Hi. Nice to hear talk to you.
I have the idea to start a strawberry bed, but the area that I'm thinking about actually is not far from a black walnut tree, and I've always heard that not everything will grow near a walnut tree.
Right. My main concern would be that a strawberry patch or bed should be in full sun. That's the primary thing. And so it has to be far enough from that walnut tree where it gets basically full sun, at least 8 hours of direct sun per day. So that's a requirement. I'm not too worried about the walnut tree if it gets enough sunlight. So it needs to be a well-drained soil, and it needs to receive 8 hours of direct sun. If it has that, it should be okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling, Lisa. Good luck with that. We have an email from Ann in Iowa City. She says, I have a beautiful lilac bush about 8 feet tall, and I'm not sure how to maintain it to promote the best blooms in the spring. Is pruning necessary?
Well, typically with those, when they get to be a certain age where they've been in the ground for maybe 5 or 10 years, some of the stems do get fairly large in diameter and become almost tree-like in size. And what you want to do is, when that happens, is to go out there periodically and maybe take out maybe just two or three of those really big ones. And if you do that periodically, you're always going to have a shrub that's fairly young, fairly vigorous, and blooms quite well in the spring.
Okay, sounds good. We'll go next to Deb in Dubuque. Deb, welcome to Talk of Iowa Horticulture Day. What's your question for Richard Duran and Cindy Haynes? Hi.
Hi, thank you. I have a steep hillside that's kind of dry shade and had grass on it, which was very hard to mow. So I planted hostas, which are doing very well. But to surround the hostas and kill the grass, I wanted some ground cover. I planted vinca vine, which is very wiry and invasive, and it's choking the hostas and climbing up above the hill and choking other things. I'd like to get rid of the vinca vine, which is very difficult, I'm finding, because it's so wiry and hard to handle. Do I just keep pulling that out, and what could I replace it with so I don't have to mow grass?
Well, you'd probably want to dig it up rather than trying to pull it. Pulling it's kind of hard to do. Sometimes it tends to break off and you don't get the root system. So I'd be inclined to go out with a trowel and dig it up. As far as a substitute, I might look at some of the native-type plants, like wild ginger, for example, which is native to wooded sites. It does form a nice ground cover if you allow it to. So that would be a possibility. And I would look at a wide range of maybe some native plants, like wild columbine,
ferns,
woodland phlox, some of the native ferns, and let them just kind of spread on their own and kind of colonize the slope.
Okay.
All right.
Will phlox grow in shade?
The woodland phlox will.
Right. It's a species adapted to the shade. It has a light blue flower. It recedes itself very freely, and so it spreads quite very nicely. So does the wild columbine. That spreads very nicely. So, yeah, they're adapted to shady areas, and they recede themselves and spread very nicely.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Deb. We'll go to Nancy and Marion. Quick question, Nancy. We're almost out of time. Welcome to the program.
Okay, I'll try and make it quick. Every spring I
see asparagus patches, and then it reminds me I need to put one in. And I just wanted to know what's the best area in my yard to do it in, when's the best time to do it, how deep does it need to go, where can I get those plants, that type of question.
Well, it's pretty easy. They need a full sun site, at least 8 hours of direct sun. It also needs to be a well-drained soil and hopefully basically weed-free. And as far as planting depth, typically around 4 to 6 inches. And I would look locally at my garden center to see if they have some crowns. Many of them do. You can also order through the mail.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Nancy. You're listening to Horticulture Day. That's the end for this week, but we'll be back next week. We thank Richard Geron and Cindy Haynes for their expertise, and we had Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. We had technical assistance by Rosalind Sixby. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Julie Englander. Thanks for joining us. Thank you.